It's the Nighttime Show. Hello, everybody. I'm Nighttime Show writer Mike Glazer. I'm here with head writer of the Nighttime Show, Matt Walker. Our guest today, from Dirk Gently, Insecure, Straight Outta Compton, and Sandcastle, and Naked, coming to Netflix, Neil Brown Jr., and your host, most recently seen on A Child's Birthday Cake. Give it up, everybody, for Streven Kramer Glickman.
That's right. Streven Kramer Glickman is my name.
I tried to play it off, and Streven. I did not.
You know, did you say the big credit for Neil? Well, I'm going to say my favorite credit for Neil Brown Jr., Straight Out of Compton. One of the greatest.
He did
movies.
Mention it. You if you paid attention it? To your own podcast,
listen,
you would have heard
I was my brain.
All I was
thinking was Straight Out of Compton.
I thought you were going to say your favorite credit is that he lives down the hall from you.
Well, it's true.
It is.
We are actually taping this episode of the Nighttime Show at the Cahuenga Tennis Condos in.
And the address, of course, is.
And the address is.
If you want to come pay a visit.
Yeah. Hey, how about we do this? How about we start over? Can we do that?
No,
it's
fine. I'm messing around.
It's good.
Do you mind that I tell
I'm moving.
Everybody?
It's all good.
All right, sweet. Where are you moving to?
Pause.
No.
It was like, oh, it's actually a nice place. Yeah. Psych.
Oh no! This is tennis condo place that we hang out in. And we
it's
live
the best.
Here. This what's bizarre about this place is that I don't know if you know this. Did you know that everybody that first moved into this complex got their own golf cart?
Because what?
Yep, everyone was given a golf cart. When you bought a condo here, you got a golf cart, and then you could keep your golf cart here in this little weird little weird parking spaces.
No.
Yep, and
I
then because it was originally originally just one building. It wasn't
what
like
happened to all the
like,
golf carts.
It wasn't four
oh,
buildings.
Oh yeah.
So then you could drive the golf cart to the pool, and you could go drive it to like all the little areas. And then Studio City was such a barely. It wasn't a big deal back in the 70s, 80s, right? So people could drive their golf carts around the neighborhood, and it was totally easy, and now you can't do that, really.
Great way to keep the weight off.
You know what happened? People like you who screw around in golf carts probably ruined it for everyone.
That's
very possible. I have made a lot of mistakes with golf carts.
Yeah.
I stole Ryan Murphy's golf cart.
You did?
Yeah.
American Horror Story?
Yeah. Yeah, good.
when he was doing Glee,
I stole his golf cart. And he was pissed, and he called our production office and was like, "Someone has my golf cart."
Did he know
and
you had it?
No, but I drove it back up, and he just went, "What? What are you?
Why
doing?
Would you do that?"
I didn't think it was his. I just thought it was like,
"Oh, if it was somebody else's, it's fine." But yeah, it's yours. That's messed
it
up.
Had rims on it though.
Yeah.
What?
No, wait. Let's talk about that cake thing.
Oh yeah, before mentioned. I botched your name, Streven. Yeah.
Streven, that's all right.
So somebody just sent you a picture. They made a pigeon toady cake.
Yeah, someone made a pigeon toady from Stork's cake.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
And here, I'll show you a picture if you want to see real quick, Neil. And
yeah, it's on your Twitter too, right?
Yeah, and they posted it on Twitter and sent it to me. This business is so weird because just kind of when you think you've got you've seen everything, and then something like this happens, and you're like. You're like, what?
Oh,
come on. Are you serious?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey. I bet you what you want a cake like me.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm awesome.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. It killed me.
You're like, why'd you just cut my face with a knife? I thought we were vibing.
Oh, man. And they stuck a candle.
Eat him!
They stuck a candle on the top of his head. And my favorite part of the picture is that it's at a roller skating rink.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even know those are still a thing.
They
I didn't
are.
Know. Yeah.
They're awesome. Still.
I love it.
Yeah,
oh my
it's great.
God. Now, Neil,
I have all my birthdays at roller skating.
your career is like outrageous. Like it's a crazy. You've had this
is
crazy
it an
run
out of rage.
Yes. No, because it's
raging.
You've been working for a really long time, and you've been like. In a lot of movies over all this time. I mean, Battle Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
That was a huge fucking movie.
Mm-hmm. A lot
and
of
then,
fun.
Yeah. What was your first job that you ever got in Hollywood? Like what was
WMAC Masters. Very few people will remember this. Although when I was doing Labyrinth with Johnny Depp and Forrest Whitaker, this Johnny Depp stuntman, we trained this big stunt that's going to happen, and he came up to me while we were filming, and he said, "Hey, were you on WMEC Masters?" I was like, "Yeah." He says, "Look at me closely, like really look at me." And we started talking, and then it hit me. He was one of the guys on that show from 1994, the episode. He played a ninja on the show.
What?
From 1994. And that's, so we had actually worked together, and I didn't realize it until I looked at him really closely. And I remembered him because he was one of the younger guys that was there. Most of the guys were from, like, Power Rangers. They were putty guys, and then they were in WMAC Masters, and they were all stunt guys, but they were acting in this World Martial Arts Council Masters. It was like a live action karate kung fu show.
Was it like a scripted show?
Yeah, it was a scripted show.
Like scripted UFC.
Yeah. UFC was a big thing. But all karate and stuff. It was, yeah.
I think
Quest
I
for the Dragon Star.
That?
What did you play on the show?
I played Jake, this troubled karate kid.
Oh my God, look at this.
That one sort of had like an American Gladiators feel.
Yes,
right?
Precisely.
Like an arena.
That's exactly what
that
it was.
When it was on.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
And that's
how long did that
Panther
last?
And that's Olympus and yeah, those guys.
Oh my God. It's like the cast of Double Dragon.
Yeah, it was like Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, that guy was in Double Dragon.
Yeah.
The guy who, Akeem,
who
was the machine, he was the guy in the first Mortal Kombat who had the long braids and he fought Shang Tsung.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. I love stuff like that.
Yeah.
Dude. I love
yeah,
it.
How long did that last? It was just 1 year?
Two seasons.
Two seasons, wow.
Yeah. The guy who encouraged me, one of the guys who encouraged me, Eric Betts, who is a big, huge stunt guy. He was on the show as Panther, and he took me to the side. He said, "Don't you ever stop doing this." He said, "You're meant to do this. I'm a stunt guy who's trying to act, right?" He said, "You are an actor who can do stunts, okay? So do this for now. You know, have fun, whatever you do, but be an actor."
Had you
That's
been
what
acting like as
no,
a kid
I never acted
stuff?
Before. I was
wow.
a,
How old were you?
14.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I was I was training for the AAUs. I was ISKA youth champion. I did Thai boxing, karate, Shotokan karate.
So they found you through your martial arts training?
Yeah, they found me because I just won a championship, won like two. And I was in training, and they came into the dojo, and they said that. Well, I did this. My master, he had me do this. Van Damme had this kick.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a split kick.
Yes.
It's shit. Okay, but it looks really cool.
It looks
and
great
pretty.
On film.
It looks so great. It's basically a ballet move.
Yeah,
and I wanted to be Van Damme when I was a kid.
Sure,
I wanted to be all the characters he was. I didn't want to be an actor. I wanted to be.
You wanted to be a time cop.
Yeah, I wanted to be time cop. I wanted to be
time
all the characters.
I
want to
go through time.
I wanted
to, be
to
a
go
cop.
Do you know kickboxer? By the way, I saw the new one. It's horrible. And so he told me to do this kick. The guy's like 6'2", and at the time I was like barely pushing 4'9". So he just told me to do the kick. He didn't warn the guy, so I just looked at him, backed up, just went airborne, and the guy just stood there, and he was shocked.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, "Okay, I'm going to bring him in."
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what they were talking about, and I thought, like, oh, yeah, this is I got a part or something? And it was just an audition. They brought me into audition amongst a bunch of other kids mm-hmm. who were also martial artists. But it all worked out once they gave us words to say.
Wow.
I could remember, you know, I could just blink at something and I knew what it said. And mm-hmm. They told everybody to leave. And they said, "No, Neil, hold up. And that was Patty Thomas Robinson in Florida and Universal Studios. So we go back a long ways.
Wow.
So you were living down there in Orlando area?
In Orlando, Florida, yeah. Okay. And I've been acting ever since.
Now, did you also shoot this, your next credit in Orlando, Florida? And I'm going to reveal it by the plot. This is a show that was on TV for 2 years. It starred a very young James Marsden.
Yeah, Jimmy, what's up, boy?
And here's the plot of the show. Okay. A writer marries a zookeeper. They adopt a passel of cute children and cute animals. Complications ensue. When you have 8 kids and 37 pets, every day is an adventure.
Oh, yeah.
This was a show called Second Noah.
Second Noah,
and
bro.
You were on that show, too.
Yeah, I did. I did that show. Everybody was really sweet to me. That's where I first met Jimmy. I met James Marsden on that show, and it wasn't until, I mean, we talked, we kind of hit it off, and then it wasn't until 15 years later that I saw him again, 10, 15 years later, on I was filming Battle Los Angeles, and I was playing piano in the lobby of the hotel in Shreveport. And then I saw him, and he came up, and he was talking, and I looked at him. And he said, I know you. And I was like, yeah. Second Noah, bro. He's like, oh, my God.
Wow.
And we began to play and sing, and we would all meet in the lobby. They were filming a different movie, he and a few other guys. But we were filming at the same time. So
he seems like he'd be a nice fellow.
He's great. He's great. Yeah. He's awesome.
Yeah.
I just ran into him again up the street, and I was like, hey, what up, Jimmy? And his eyes were burning because they were filming Westworld.
Oh, my God.
And he's like, dude, it's just killing me. But Clifton, all my homies are on that.
One of our friends is the head of hair, does all the hair on the show, and she said doing Westworld was like doing an entire feature film every week.
Oh, God.
It was,
I can imagine.
The most intense
production values on the show are outrageous.
Oh,
we talked about this with Max Landis.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah,
he was on the
yeah,
show.
Yeah.
And,
that's my dude. Shout out to Max Landis.
Yeah. Until he killed you.
Pause. And he loves.
You never know. It's a time travel show.
That's true. Yes, that's true.
That is
he
true.
Loves
Max,
you, though. He
yeah, I love him.
He
gave me
he said so many good things about
most material ever. Like he would always, you know, you tell Max, he's like, hey, I'm gonna write something for you, and you know, it's Hollywood. You expect like 2 weeks later, a month later, maybe 2 years. It's like he comes back from
next
the bathroom
day.
And it's like, here you go. He's like, I want you to say this. What do you think? He's read it, but don't say anything until you've read it all.
Yeah, there's a story about him that he sat down like he was on an airplane, and he wrote a script on the plane, and then he sold that script for $1 million.
Yeah. You better believe
it. Like, that's
it.
Amazing.
Like, no, he's the most prolific screenwriter in Hollywood.
Bradley Cooper starring in that movie. That he wrote on the
air. It's like he's so opinionated, but in the right way. Like, he's got a reason for all of his opinions.
So
good.
You just have to know how to handle him.
Like, we love Max.
He's a big personality.
Love Max Landis. Great guy.
Big fan. That's my dude.
Yeah.
Love that guy.
Their lives and losses of the doctors and nurses of the Chicago County General Hospital. That is the plot of ER. And,
oh, God, yes.
Okay.
And you were on ER next.
I was.
who was on the show? Was it Clooney time or was it?
It was Dr. Benton's. Like, they gave him Eric LaSalle.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Shout out to Eric LaSalle.
So amazing. He's in the new.
He's
in Logan.
I thought he did
a cameo, or he was going to do a cameo.
Oh, yeah. I know. I'm thinking about Black Panther. Yeah. You're probably right. Yeah. No, he was in it. He gave me a lot of pointers. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Kaplan was the director. I remember this very well. And he had traveled, Dr. Benton's character had traveled to a small town to help out and provide care for the small town, and I played a young bad kid. I always played the bad kid. I was the bad karate guy. Yeah. I was the bad, the bad.
You're such a nice guy,
cigarette
though.
Smoking. Oh, thank you.
How did you make the transition from doing just martial arts on camera and doing that first one into, I guess, I don't know what type of role you would call it, but not doing martial arts on camera anymore?
Acting. Much to the joy of my wife, who is like, "Oh, you're gonna be a karate guy. You're gonna do karate forever." She hates it, but it paid the bills for a while.
Yeah.
I expanded my horizons, expanded my skill set. I really only was jazzed about it at first. I knew I loved doing it, but I was really only jazzed about the fact that I could beat people up on screen, and I would look cool and be the action guy.
Yeah.
And what happened was. I just started going out on more auditions, just every audition I could get my hands on, and a lot of them didn't have to do with karate or anything. They were dramatic. And once I started going out on more dramatic roles, they saw that, oh, you really have a talent for this. And then I just studied and read and studied and went out on as many as I can, and I started to do a lot more of that, a lot more dramatic roles.
Yeah, so it was
intentional. Now I'm back into action. So, you know, it's like a mountain you go up, right? There's no one way up it, right? Sometimes you got to go down this way or that way to find a different path to get up the same mountain. So,
Hey, man, this is a lot of fun. Are you having a good time there, Matt Walker?
I'm having a great time.
Man, oh, man, do I love recording episodes of the Nighttime Show podcast. But you know what I love doing even more than that?
What do you love more than that?
Popping open a bottle of Fireball whiskey, which I happen to have with me right here.
That is a bottle of Fireball.
It is. It's a big bottle. It says Fireball whiskey, and it is yummy, yum, yums, cinnamon flavor. I'm actually, I don't know if you can hear it, but if I hold up the bottle, you can hear the bottle talk. Hang
on.
You
can't hear a bottle talk.
Wait, shh. Just listen real quiet.
Oh, what's happening, everybody? How y'all doing tonight?
Hey, there's my bottle of Fireball whiskey.
That bottle's talking. That's
a real bottle that can talk.
That's amazing.
What's happening, Matt? You said you were having a good time, right?
I am having a good time.
You want to have a great time?
Yeah, you want to have a great time? You got to... We're going to pop this bottle up, and I'm going to put you in my mouth. Yeah. You ready for that?
Oh, I've been ready my whole bottle up.
Oh, I want you so deep down my throat. Here we go. I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it all.
Give it to me, baby.
I'm opening it.
Oh, can you smell that?
Whoa, you swallowed that whole bottle of Fireball. That's amazing.
Well, it was a lot of Fireball, and it's down in my belly. Are you down there?
Steven! This is a blast, man. Thanks for swallowing me.
Hey, how's it going in my stomach? How is it down there?
Oh, it's really great. Hey, did you go to In-N-Out?
I did.
Oh, man, lucky me.
Yeah, you bet. Enjoy some of that, buddy. Those are for y'all.
This is great, man. Let's get loose.
Let's get loose. Let's have a good time. I'm going to shake my belly around.
Whoa.
Hey, you see a TV guide in there?
Yeah. Whoa, yeah, actually I do. One of the, it's dog ear.
TV guide?
There's a TV and a TV in there. Turn around, you can see it on the wall.
Cool.
It's Sanyos, I believe. Sanyos Fireball. What do you see on the TV?
Oh my gosh, look at me. What?
Is this a...
Get out.
Is it... Is it an old episode of Quantum Leap?
Yeah. Whoa. Is he ever going to get back?
I don't know. I don't know. But enjoy that, buddy. And thanks for being in my stomach. Fireball whiskey. It's a party in your stomach and a party in your heart. Fireball whiskey.
Bye.
All right. Let's get back to the show.
Now, I promise you I'm not going to do this to you the entire time.
No, it's
on the podcast. But orphaned at the age of 6. Shirley Hamilton is taken in by the Shamanese Kali.
Oh my God!
And taught how to morph into almost any animal.
Almost any animal there is.
She shall become Sheena, Queen of the Jungle,
Queen
starring
the jungle.
Gina Lee Nolan.
And
you were on that show.
I love.
By the way, you can watch Sheena every Saturday morning after Greatest American Hero.
Really?
Heroes and Icons, digital channel 13.4.
Oh, I will watch that.
At 10 a.m.
Oh, that's why I get those checks for like 6 cents for 50.
That's why they're
episodes.
Showing it on Heroes and Icons.
See, this is one of my favorite types of things is because, I was watching these shows. Like,
yeah.
This is like when...
I probably saw you a lot when I didn't know I was seeing you.
Oh,
like, I guarantee
you saw me a lot. I did, like,
I mean, you have a ton of credits, man. Like, we can't do...
I was a stunt guy on that. Shout out to Jeff Pruitt. Jeff Pruitt and Glenn Wilder. Glenn Wilder was the original stuntman. This is the last guy to work with Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
He's an old school guy. And I was hired to be Nakili, which was like a... He was a child that Gina's character, Sheena, knew as a kid that they grew up with.
Yeah.
And then he was taken and turned into like a... I was a lizard, bird of prey... something or other. Mm-hmm. Oh, there was a zebra. Mm-hmm. Excuse me for my South African friends. A zebra. morph thing, and she healed me and got me all fixed.
Where did you film that?
Oh.
That was in Florida at Disney. Well, no, Busch Gardens.
Okay.
It's one of those.
Yeah.
I love it, dude.
But
so
yeah,
cool.
And then when Jeff Pruitt came on, he's the stunt coordinator for Buffy, along with his wonderful wife, Sophia Crawford. They just celebrated like their 20th wedding anniversary yesterday. Shout out to them.
Congratulations.
He just said, hey, man, you know, if acting's drying up, I could use you as a stunt guy here. And it had dried up. And I had bills to pay. I had 2 kids. So I just started doing...
You had 2 kids at that point?
Yeah. I started doing stunts. I just was doing
stunts. How long have you been married to your wife?
April, 17 years. But we've been together. We've been together 23 years.
Wow, that's amazing, dude.
She's amazing. If you know, if
I know
if
your
people
kids,
meet them.
You got great kids.
People meet her, they know why. You know why?
Oh, I know. Your wife
she's
is
awesome.
Awesome. Yeah. She's super cool.
She hits really hard. Such a short little car.
And you know, you're a martial artist. You can.
Yeah, I know.
You're an expert.
One of the first things she did was clock me in the jaw. It was amazing. I fell in love right there.
Hilarious.
Yeah, I was walking her home, and we were playing around, and she just pow right to the jaw.
Those little hearts started floating.
Yeah, they did. Like, some people call them stars. I call them hearts. But Jeff Pruitt was the stunt coordinator on that, and when I was doing Straight Outta Compton, we were filming the Detroit riot scene, and they had all these cops, stunt cops.
Yeah.
And I saw this guy at the corner of my eye, and it was Jeff, and he was smiling, and I was like, when I saw him, he just waved, and everybody, I just yelled out, because I hadn't seen him in 15, 16 years.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine.
I ran up to him and gave him a big hug, and everybody was like, pause, like, what's going on? Yella's tripping. I was like, no, this guy, he fed my family for like 2 years on Sheena. Love this guy. He's awesome.
God, that's the coolest. I love it. There's, I'll skip over a few. I mean, there's MDs,
yeah,
right? Birds of Prey.
Oh God,
you familiar with the plot of Birds of Prey?
Everybody knows Birds of Prey.
Do you know the plot of this?
I don't.
All right, in the future, long after after Batman has driven himself into exile, his legacy lives on in the form of the Birds of Prey.
Birds of
Black
Prey.
Canary,
Black
Oracle,
Canary.
And Huntress. This
and
was on
Huntress.
For one season, I believe.
Live action?
It was a live action show with Ashley Scott, Dina Meyer, and Rachel Skarster. I don't know.
Yeah.
Is that a WB show?
I just love. But then you jump to, like, after that, what it seems to me like is you jump to movies, and then it's like, you're in Out of Time with Denzel Washington.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This was shortly after my move to LA, and then I flew back to Florida to do that.
Mr. 3000 with Bernie Mac, one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah. Yep.
And then the one that I'm the most curious of, just because he is a legend. Bernie Mac is a legend.
Yeah,
but
he's the best.
Rodney Dangerfield, Back by Midnight.
Rodney was.
Was that his last movie?
Yeah, it was.
That
his
was
last
his last
movie.
Yeah,
he was. He still had it. He was. I mean, he came out of the trailer and just trailing the marijuana smoke around.
Now, would he?
Oh, it was great. It was just filled it up everywhere. And then he still had it. He had the quips. He just started messing with people.
Now, would he sit around in just a bathrobe? Like, that's sort of like the legend you always hear about him. He just, like, hangs out in a bathrobe all day.
I didn't see that because they would bring him straight from the trailer. I mean, they think this was getting towards the end when he was getting singers. But his pants started falling down and they were like went up to catch it. He's like, no, let it happen. You know? He's still sharp.
By the way, the MP, Academy, who does the Oscars, never let Rodney Dangerfield join.
Really?
Yep. He was. I remember him complaining about that, like near the very end of his life on Howard Stern. He talked about how he'd done Natural Born Killers, he'd done Back to School,
everything.
Like a bunch of big movies, and they wouldn't let him join the Academy to be a voting member.
Yeah. Unbelievable. What the. That's not okay.
Not shout out to the Academy.
Yeah, not shout out to the Academy. Yeah, he was cool. I met a couple people on that set. That's where I first met Phil Lamar.
Oh, yeah.
Really? Oh, yeah. He's a good friend. He's a great guy.
Yeah, he is a great guy. I really dig him. And what's that? The little guy who's in all the movies.
The little guy in all the movies.
Me, Myself, and Irene. You remember in the movie Me, Myself, and Irene with Jim Carrey? The
little person?
Yeah, the little guy.
Oh.
I always forget his name, but he was the sweetest guy to me.
Vern.
Vern Troyer. Dude, this guy's a brother.
Oh, Tony Cox?
Is that him?
From
Bad Santa?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, Tony Cox.
Tony Cox from Star Wars, who was an Ewok in Star
Boom,
Wars.
Boom, there you go.
Oh, yeah. Tony Cox, big fan.
He was sweet, very sweet to me.
He's in my top five people I want to get on. Well, top ten. Top five. I want to get on the show very badly.
He's bad with numbers.
Top seven. He's in my top seven. Video game wise, have you done voices on video games? Have you done any of that stuff? How many video games have you done?
I just did the one.
The one?
I always wanted to do voiceover, but that was the one, the only one that they...
Madden?
Madden 2010, the only one I auditioned for, and I said, you know what? If it's meant to be, it'll come back to me.
Sure.
Eventually. And it did, and then I started doing voiceover for Family Guy and American Dad.
Oh, my God. Through, so awesome.
Wow.
Linda LaMontagne.
The greatest casting director.
She just picked
of all
me
time.
Out. She just said, she just hounded my manager. She said, he does voiceover. I know it. I want him in here now. And they put me on the show. And everybody was so amazing. It was a dream come true because I really wanted to do it.
Oh,
and she's been great. Everybody over at Family Guy and American Dad has been amazing.
Oh, that's a dream,
you know,
dude.
I want to do more, but
I can only imagine. All right. The credit I'm gonna jump with you up to is Fast and Furious. That was one of the biggest first ones that you did that were you movie wise like that's
I think we
it's a pretty impactful I mean
Sarah Finn
because there's a couple things before that, but that I mean I'm a huge Fast and Furious fan. Like, I'm a big fan of all those movies. I've seen all of them in the theater, and I'm a big nerd about it.
What's wrong with America, Steven.
You're the
worst. They are the worst movies in the history of movies.
They are not the worst movies. They're
unwatchable. Unwatchable.
That means action. Yeah.
Like I don't know what planet they take place on, but they have a completely different set of physics laws.
Yes,
on that planet.
100%. That is totally true.
I saw a calculation like in that stupid one you dragged me to where they have the long airport scene at the end, like where they're racing on the runway and they're gonna like jump into the plane and all that stuff.
Oh yeah.
Like two movies ago. I remember seeing something
through the front of the plane.
Like I saw a calculation that like that landing strip would have to be something like 12 miles long for that scene to take place.
Yeah,
like,
Matt is too scientific for
they're not
like
for real. It's a movie. Like Joel Schumacher used to say, it's a movie.
I go total like Neil deGrasse Tyson when I watch her. I'm just like, that's not real. That can't happen. The physics are all there.
It was
awesome.
I'm one of those people that like I like that movie the way that I like cotton candy. Yeah. It's like
it has no nutritional value. It's not good for it, but it's awesome to eat. It isn't really food.
You know what? What's crazy is, though, XXX, I just saw the new XXX movie. Yeah. Did you see the new XXX movie? The new XXX movie makes Fast and Furious look like a documentary. Like, XXX is so fucking crazy. Mm-hmm. It defies all laws of gravity and physics and math, and your brain can't handle certain parts of it. Like, for example, in Fast and Furious, right? They drive and they fall. They pull their cars out of a plane, right? Mm-hmm. They fall out of a plane in the car. Car plummets to earth, and then they pull a parachute, and then they land and are able to drive off and release the parachute, right?
Yeah.
And it's in you know
strongest axles and tires ever that exist.
Exactly. Yeah. Sure. Okay.
Made of adamantium.
Like, and you have to kind of, or like they drive out of a hotel room window and crash in Dubai and land in another hotel room
of
window.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. Happens all the time in Dubai.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Yeah. Like, you know, building strength, all that kind of stuff. You just forget, you know, windows.
What's that?
Whatever. Yeah. It just makes sense. They just do what they want. In XXX, the most recent XXX movie, Vin Diesel climbs to the top of an electrical tower, takes a transformer piece off the tower, attaches it to his belt, and there's all these guys at the bottom of this electrical tower they're in Cuba or something, and everyone's got guns and they're pointing up at him and they're like, come down from there. And then he's like, coming down. And then he straps his feet into skis and then he leaps off with poles, jumps off the thing, flips the two guys off as he falls from an electrical tower, hits the jungle ground. It's not snow, it's jungle. Mm-hmm. And then he skis through the jungle.
Of course he does. Yeah. Dude, and have you ever seen Tarzan?
I think the most unbelievable part of that whole thing is that anybody would understand what Vin Diesel has to say.
Right.
That's the least likely thing.
But then, then he goes...
He makes Stallone look like addiction coach.
But then he gets... Then he travels all the way to the beach skiing, okay? And then some kid has a skateboard for him, then he skateboards, like bombs down the hill, right? He skates on the side of a bus.
This is exactly what XXX does.
Oh, yeah. This is what he does. Yeah. And then he gets down to the beach, and he runs out to this like the shack on the beach, and there's all these kids in the shack. And he takes the transformer off his belt, and he attaches it to this wires, and he plugs it in. The TV turns on, and it's soccer. And everyone goes, goal! Goal! Right? And then this little kid turns to him and goes, thank thank you, Mr. Vin Diesel. You bring the world to us. He goes, the world is inside of you.
No.
And that's how the movie, no. And then she goes, Triple X. Yes. I was like, great what cinema, the bro. Fuck is that?
This is great cinema. This is today.
I loved it. Tell us about this movie.
This
tell
is what's
us
wrong
about
with rap.
Tell me how it happened. Tell me how you got cast.
Future.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. What about what now?
Tell me the Fast and Furious story. Tell me about how this happened.
It was it really had to do with my cousin, Tori Kittles. He's another actor. He's on the show Colony. He brought me into his manager. I called for. There was a lady who said she was going to be my manager, and I came on there and she got me all hyped up, and then she disappeared. Right, mm-hmm. And her daughter's a famous actress, and I'm not going to put her out there, but this actually worked in my favor. She said, "Well, she wouldn't even call a casting director for me." She said, "Why don't you call the casting director yourself and try to set up a general?" And I was like, "But weren't you supposed to be my manager?"
Her job, yeah.
And what? Then she's like, "Yeah, well, you know." They don't see it. And that management firm is gone, by the way.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
So I did call, and I called Sarah Finn, and she said, sure, come in for a general. And my cousin had taken me with him to his management firm just to say what's up to everybody. And while I was in there, the manager, my cousin Tori, he said, hey, he's got a general with Sarah Finn. And then the manager said, she's doing Fast and Furious. Did you know about this? And I was like, no. He says, mention it. And mention my name. And yeah, if it happens, I'll do the deal for you. And it's like, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Right? How's that going to happen? Yeah. And I go in with Sarah, and she immediately likes me because I did Never Back Down.
Right.
I was one of the local hires for Never Back Down, and she casted the real actors. and I said, you know, hey, so you're doing Fast and Furious? She says, yeah, you'd be perfect for that. And then I mentioned the manager. She said, he's so smart. I love him. I tell you what, why don't you come back in? Well, I'll set up an audition for you. I auditioned, and it was for, I put it on tape, and then I got a call back, and it was for Neil Moritz. Jeff Watlow, the director of Never Back Down, I told him, I said, hey, I'm going in for Neil Moritz. And then he said, hey, I know Neil. If it gets close, let me know. I'll make a call. And I was like, okay. And I had already done like bit parts, like out of time stuff for Neil Moritz. And I went in for him. Anybody that knows Neil knows this is how the audition went. I'm saying words, words, words. Hey, Neil, you worked for me before, right? And I was like, yeah. He said, good. And he just went back to his phone.
Wow.
By the way, for the people who can't see us, since we're in sound, I was looking at my phone.
Yeah.
Neil, it's always busy because he's a super busy person, and he's awesome. And I left there, and Watlow said, I'll make a call. And you know what, man? At the premiere of Never Back Down, I got a call from that manager saying, hey, yeah, it's going to happen. You're in the new Fast and Furious. And it had already started filming, and I didn't get the part, so I was like, I just let it go.
Didn't get it. Yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
I didn't get it. It's fine. Whatever. I'll audition something. I had no manager, no agent, no nothing. And by the way, that manager, after he did the deal, he did represent me. I mean, like, because I would call in and be like, hey. And he said, hey, you know, Neil, we love you, but you're not really taking on clients right now. And I'm like, you're not taking on me.
Yeah, right.
So I said, oh, okay, well, I'll just do the movie.
We're not taking on people named Neil Brown Jr.
Yeah. you know, people don't realize. It's like when they ask me, man, how did you get the management and the agent? And I was like, I was out here 10 years before I got an agent or a manager.
Yeah,
and I worked within those 10 years. I've been doing this 23 years. Mm-hmm. And it's a grind. It's a marathon. And, you know, I mean, I was fortunate enough to do good work when I did it so that like a director or something would vouch for me. But even then, you know, it's your duty to go get the part, you know, because no amount of them saying hire this guy is going to get you the part if you suck.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, and I did the movie, and it turns out Wilma Calderon, who played my best friend in the movie, played Tosh, he was from Florida as well, and he had came out here like 7 years prior. He was friends with Justin Lin, the director, and we just all meshed. We're good friends to this day.
Wow. Yeah. Are you? Do you do classes? Are you like a? Do you take? Did you do acting classes or?
No. anytime I tried to, the coach would realize, they'd be like, you know what? I don't want to mess with your natural process because you get it. But yeah. But they all wanted to teach me techniques about asking more questions, or like breathing techniques, or, you know, studying, but not like doing scene study and all that stuff like that, because it's like, you get it.
Yeah.
You know, you're natural in that way. But I wanted to expand my skill set even within that even within my natural ability.
Yeah.
So I study it's always, I'm constantly evolving in how I train and study. So I treat a script like a play, and I read it over and over and over again until I get the overall arc of my character and stuff, and I do all these exercises, and I'm constantly working. I put in most of my day into this. But who I did train with was Dennis Neal. He's my coach. And Russ Blackwell, who I started out with in Florida. But Dennis Neal, if I have something where I need to go deeper, or there's some questions that I can't find, you know, that I don't know to ask.
Yeah.
I'll work with him.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, he's out here in LA, and he's great. Russ Blackwell as well. Yeah.
Do you audition a lot? Are you auditioning?
Yeah, I audition all the time. People were asking me
people always want to know stuff like that, because
you're just getting offers.
Some things are offers. I just had a conversation with Ed Begley Jr. And he said that he had just auditioned for Seth Rogen to play the dad on the new show that Seth Rogen's producing, and I was like, but didn't you play the dad in Pineapple Express? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, oh, I would have thought.
It would have been a layup.
You're such a legend. I would have thought, you know, he should just have offered it to you. And he goes, you're only offer only if they offer it to you.
Yeah.
And I was like, son of a bitch. That's so good. Like, because when I was starting out, you'd always hear the kids on our show or people talk about it and just be like, yeah, no, I'm offer only now when it comes to this or when it comes to that. And like, I thought like, in my brain, it was like, oh, you know, that's a decision that actors make, but it's not really a decision
we
make. It's a decision that the world makes.
Yeah, even if I get an offer, I still want to meet. And, you know, a lot of times I'll just audition in spite of, like, the offer, because what if they're making a bad decision? What if they're making a decision based on what their perceived audience that they're looking for, that they think that I'm going to bring, and then it's a wrong fit, and I end up doing something that's not good,
it's not right for me.
Genius. So
so smart.
I went Straight Outta Compton came out. People don't believe this. When Straight Outta Compton was out doing well, I still went in for pre-reads.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
I still don't think of myself so high as like I'm above doing the work that I love to do, because you have to love the process. And part of the process is auditioning, is learning, is doing something that you don't want to do or are afraid to do. Those are two things. If you find something that you're afraid or don't want to do, that's precisely what you should be doing. Mm-hmm. So if you don't feel like auditioning, if you don't feel like going in for a pre-read, you should definitely do it, because you're going to have to do stuff in this business, in life, that you don't want to do all the time. Who wants to pay bills? No one. Who wants their bills paid? Everyone.
Yeah. Right.
Think about it.
Of course.
So,
yeah,
you know,
right.
You can't get one without the other. So practice doing stuff that you hate to do, that you do not want to do, so that you can eventually do the things that you do want to do.
Very smart. Yeah.
Very deep smart. Thoughts. Yeah. Neil Jr.
You better believe it. No. It's
well, people asking like, oh, man, you're working so much now. Yeah, because I work so much. Yeah.
Now let's talk about Straight Outta Compton
all the time
for a minute. Yeah. How did that whole thing come together for you?
Especially because here's the thing. This fella sitting across from me.
He auditioned for Dre.
Yeah, he auditioned for Dre.
I should have gone in for Easy.
You should have gone in for Easy.
He really should have.
Loose MC.
I was Easy for Halloween.
Yeah, my actually, brother. That's really cool. It was great. It's on your Twitter,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, it's Shaw's face.
Big Raiders fan, Matt Walker. Huge, huge NWA fan.
Yes.
My brother.
Because I grew up here in Southern California. I remember when they were big at my school before the first album came out. Like, people had, like, we'd gone, like, in junior high, they went to the Compton swap meet, we got the tape from the back of Eazy-E's trunk, you know, kind of thing. So, like, they were floating around, so I was aware of them when they were doing, like, Dope Man and Fat Girl and all that stuff,
yeah.
You know, before the first album comes out, which is
well,
you know,
I'm the dope man. Yeah, but I love it every time I hear it. It's just certain, you know, when NWA kicks in.
Yeah, so it's like I've been a fan of them since junior high is when like they started kicking in for my age group. So it's like I've been a huge fan of them since then.
Oh yeah.
And this movie comes out, and I was scared about the movie because there've been so many of these biopics that are terrible, like you know that Biggie movie that came out that was just awful, right? Yeah. So there have been movies that have been done poorly. And I was like, I don't want to see a bad movie made about NWA. Mm-hmm. And then this movie comes out, we go see it. And I was like, I knew I was going to enjoy the soundtrack no matter what, right? Mm-hmm. But then I'm sitting there watching the movie with Steve, and I was like, this is a great movie. Like, this is like one of the best movies I've seen in years, just as a movie. Like, if you strip out the fact that I like the group it's about, still a
great
film. It's
a good 80s, 90s movie, actually. That's one of the things I loved about it.
So good.
I loved about it. And people saw it, which doesn't happen anymore. People saw it multiple times in the theaters.
Oh, yeah.
And I heard people like, yeah, I saw it like three times, bro.
I saw it twice, and I went with Matt the first time, and I checked my mom the second time.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
And then my mom came up to you and was like, when all the riots were happening, I didn't know why, but now I know.
Yeah,
now I understand what was happening in the world. And it was like, it really did that. Like, it put things into context so that it didn't just seem... Because, like, you know, a lot of people didn't really understand that.
That's what I thought
from
the
outside.
Did.
Yeah,
it
from
provided context for their lyrics.
Because
a lot of people just thought they were just, you know, being arbitrary and just saying words to seem provocative.
That's what I actually... before the movie came out, I put out a blog post on my blog where I ranked the top 10 songs that had no chance of being included in the movie. stuff like, you know, Find Him, Fuck Him, and Flee. Not going to be in that movie.
Not gonna
you know,
be in the movie.
There's a bunch of them like that. Where
maybe
it's
in
like,
the bloopers.
No.
We recorded a lot of music that didn't even make it, you know, and some of it became transition music, and we had to decide what was going to be in there. Thank you, Glickman, for swatting that fly.
There's a fly.
I have a irrational fear of gnats and flies. They really make me mad. I hunt them. The fruit flies when they show.
I know.
We recorded all that music, and the guys really put in a lot of work. I mean, Yella didn't. I didn't have to rhyme. Right?
Yeah.
But I was a hype man, and I had a specific voice that was based on the way that he spoke. He speaks in a much higher register. He's getting a funny guy, and like he just wanted people to appreciate what they had. Like, he's just a sweet guy, you know what I mean? To this day, when I speak to him, we text. He's a good guy, you know? And I mean, he just was all about having fun, and he loved Prince a lot. But the rest of the guys, like my actor, you know, Jason Mitchell, Corey Hawkins, and Aldous Hodge, and who plays Snoop? God, his name just slipped me. Lakeith Stanfield. Everybody put in so much work into emulating and sounding like the characters, especially when we had to record. They wanted to get it right, the sound right, the tone right. And I was impressed by them every time I would hear like a track that was coming in that we would have to learn, because I would have to learn all the scratches and all the cuts and jabs.
Oh, wow.
They had us training. We did a lot of performance. Shout out to Dub C. We had to do performance work. Had to learn how to, you know, be on stage and to look, talk, and walk like these, you know, iconic guys. Because if you didn't do it right, people were going to rip you apart. And F. Gary was so adamant. His heart went into the movie, and he's a big reason of why it turned out so well, because he wouldn't let stuff slide.
Those concert scenes looked like video of them performing.
And while we would do those, real NWA. Who's there, Drake, Cube, and the guys. You know, they were there on set most of the time. As soon as Cube could get there after doing that, the Ride Along 2, he got there, he didn't leave set. And Dre was always there, and, you know, Yella and Ren. They got so hyped from watching us perform in the middle, like during some downtime when we were doing different setups. Cube and Dub C went up and gave an impromptu concert. I have it on video. They did it twice. You know, it was great too, because he knew how to rock a crowd.
Yeah,
like, everybody got hyped. We were going to the wee hours of the morning, but the people down, all the extras, we had tons and tons of extras, 1,500 or so. They thought, they were like, man, y'all lip singing real good. We were hearing them. He was like, we're not lip singing.
Mm-hmm.
What? It's like,
we're
and, then,
doing
and then Jason
it.
Pulled up the mic. He said, and then he said, cruising down the street in my 6 foot. And they were like, oh my God. Oh my God. That's really, it's really us right now. This is really what's happening. And that's why, and they would have to try to save our voices. And like, these guys, what they do, man, like performing night after night, time after time, and, you know, emoting, being loud and all that stuff. You lose your voice like that. Like, and if you don't prepare and know how to do it, you will be.
Because you're not like trained as somebody who's on stage every night.
Precisely. Yeah. You know? Yeah. And so it's, I'm very impressed by any singer, any artist that knows how to do that and doesn't just like sing to a track.
Now, how did you get the part? Like, did you go in from just like a cattle call type thing?
I auditioned for Cindy Tolan early on, and it went nowhere. And my friend, good friend of mine, Corey Hardrick, who I was in Battle Los Angeles, and now he's in Labyrinth with me, and which he just got cast, so shout out to him. And he's in Naked. he kept calling me. He's like, hey, man, you better get up on that NWA joint, man. I'm like, I'm not going in for that because they're not going to hire me. There's no point in them hiring me.
Now, they were trying to make this for a long time, too, right?
Many years.
I think that script was...
Many, many years.
I read that originally the script was based off of Jerry Heller's book, like 12 years ago, somebody bought the rights to it. And that that was rewritten, you know, ten times by the time
they had a cast, like 2 years before ours. I mean, you know.
Wow.
And then they were casting and casting and casting, and then they got rid of the cast, and they started recasting. And then once they found Jason Mitchell, they started to really get everybody together.
Yeah.
And I went in kind of during that time, a little bit prior to that. And so 3 months passed, and well, my friend Corey, he convinced me to go in, and I went to call my manager about it, and my manager was like, hey, I'm glad you called. I got an audition for you. And I was like, what? He said, straight out of Compton. I was like, funny. Yeah. It was, because it was Samantha, his assistant. And I was like, okay, cool. I'll go in. I went in. I thought I had it. I thought I got it.
Mm-hmm.
I sucked, apparently. It just didn't go anywhere. So 3 months later, I get a call from my manager, my head guy, David Dean Pertelli. And he's like, hey, I got an audition for you. And I was like, what? Straight out of Compton. I was like, oh, it's a callback. No, it's a re-audition. And I was like, okay, I'll go in there. And mind you, I've done big, you know, I've done like some big work at then, but I told movies, you, like, one thing you have to know is like, pride cometh before the fall, right? And if you have it will destroy you. And arrogance is a thing that will keep you out of this game working forever. So I was like, all right, cool. I'll go in and re-audition and do it. And I went in for Vicky. This time it was for Vicky Thomas. I love her. She's my favorite person in the world. Mwah. I love you, Vicky. I go in and I get it together and I go in and I do it. And she says, stop. I was like, what? Because I knew I killed it. Like the audition material. And she said, do less. And I was like, okay. All right. Oh, okay. Well, I'll do less. And we go to do it again. And I'm like, all right, I'm about to do it. I'm about to really give it to it. I'm about to smash it. Stop. Do less. It's like, okay, I'll do even less. I started again. She said, stop before I even finished it. And she said, do less. And I said, what do you want me to do? Nothing? Exactly. And then I was like, okay, I did nothing. And I just kind of like said the words. I said, there, that's Yella. You know how to do this stuff, Neil. Jesus. And I just met this woman. I didn't know she was like going to be like she was all up in my stuff. Yeah. Like all up in my Kool-Aid.
Now,
you know?
Did you study DJ Yella ahead of time? Like,
yes, I did.
Finished?
Well, like, I did some of it.
Were you listening to like, you know, the Easy Does It album? And there's like that one track where he's like, man, I used to rip it up at Compton High. And like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and the video of him, you know, when all of them.
Your audition for it? Like, what did you have to do? Was it something?
It was the scene where we're about to go on stage for the first time, and I arrived late in the wrong clothes, and did that, and you know I was doing the most, you know, apparently I was doing too much, and I had and she knew that I had a natural sensibility of being yellow without having to try, so I didn't do the studying because that I would normally do. I didn't do it as much because I thought I got it, you know, but it was enough for her to. She knew that I was the guy because they hired her specifically to find Ren and Yella.
Wow.
And I had never seen
that movie, by the way. Fantastic.
Oh, it's amazing. She won an award for it. She won it. Vicky is so amazing, so awesome. And Cindy as well. But she did, when she cast me in that, and after I left, I felt like it was a waste of time, and I got really upset. Mm-hmm. And then a friend of mine, Annie, called me. I mean, he hit me up through Facebook. I hadn't heard from him in like 7 years. He said, "Hey, they like you for Yella, so embody him. You're gonna be called back in." And I was like, "What?" Wow. I was like, "What you doing for that?" He's like, "I'm associate F. Gary Gray." I was like, "All right." So that weekend, I really went in to studying Yella, and then I figured out how he sounded, like his voice. And I came in to meet Gary, and they had me there for 3.5 hours.
Holy shit.
3 of those hours, two hours and 45 minutes of those hours were in the hallway waiting. There was no, I didn't realize what was going on. There was nobody else there for Yella. But the guys were there, Jason and Corey and O'Shea. And we just started vibing. We just started talking because, you know, they were like me. They were, you know, they were funny and they like cracking jokes and they liked the ladies. And we just started jiving for like 2 hours and like 45 minutes. Oh, and I didn't realize that was the actual audition.
That's so smart.
What?
The chemistry. That was the chemistry of like if they got along, if they liked me. Mm-hmm. And so that when we actually went in and Gary said, come in, because Universal said, but can Neil be funny? Like, and Gary did like, we got the drama, but can he be funny? And Gary was like, yes, because I went in with them and we started cracking jokes. And I made some jokes about the fact that Gary was telling me to take my shirt off and Gary gave me his shirt. And then, you know, I got that Gary stank on me right now, baby. you know, brought to you by Black and Neat. No, I was just messing with him. So we had a great time. And then I waited outside and Vicky came out. She said, you're done. You can go. Bye. Go. And they called like 2 days later. And I cried like a baby. And I was like, what? Because I knew it could possibly mean if I was willing to put in all the work. And that first week killed me, bro.
At that point, did you know like who was going to be involved and how big a deal it was?
I knew F. Gary was directing. I knew that you know Q Vision and Andre were all involved.
Wow.
I knew that if we did it right, it would mean something big. And Vicky from then on cast. I mean, my show Insecure is because of Vicky.
Shit.
Which
is a huge show.
Oh yeah,
she just won best new writer at a new series writer.
Issa?
At the final draft.
Yeah,
awards
Issa is a beast.
God, she's amazing.
And that whole group, so fucking good, like too. In that little bit of time from going to Straight Outta Compton, people say Straight Outta Compton, man, they put you in a new stratosphere. It's like it made the rooms warmer. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah,
I was still going in for pre-reads. I still had a really bad audition. Guys, say less. Actors out there, just say less. When you think you want to say something in a room that's funny or cool or like, I want to be friends with the producers, shut up. Shut your little brain up. Say the words on the page and leave.
No, what
it
happened?
It will serve
Did something
you.
Happen?
Oh yeah, I said something really stupid in an audition, and I don't know.
On,
and no, I can't.
Yeah,
but immediately as it left my mouth, I was like, no, come back, and I couldn't get it back. I was so upset.
Don't tell us who it was or what the project is. Just tell us what you said.
And I love this woman. I love this group of people. They were so kind to still audition me, but somehow this was very embarrassing because I'm really good about not saying the wrong thing and just being quiet and doing the work. But I got nervous for some reason. I don't know. I had been waiting for so long. And, you know, sometimes you look at producers that are in the room and you're like, well, you know somebody that they know. So you'll bring up something that you know and, like, it'll be a little laugh. Somehow I thought it would be cool to mention a friend whose client was in that movie. Mm-hmm. And they didn't get their bonus because our movie crushed their movie.
Oh, shit.
So, Neil, what are you doing? What are you? And I sat down there and I was like, oh, my friend's, his client was in the movie. And, yeah, he just getting on me because he didn't get his And I sat back because at that point I had opened up the box.
Yep.
And they were like, what? And they were all smiling because before that, very charming, and they were like excited to meet me.
Oh, yeah.
And I immediately just took a, you know, hot egg and cheese fart in the room.
Shit.
And it just, and they were like, what? What?
I
didn't know what to, I had to finish it. And I was like, because didn't get his bonus because Our movie came out the same time. And she's like, well, I still got paid. I mean, it's all. And I was like, yeah. It's I wasn't being.
Oh, God.
And yeah, that is the audition that shan't be named. But you know what? That's a teaching moment.
I got one for you. Disney Channel asked me to come in to audition a couple weeks ago. Happened to be the same day as the storm of the century. You remember when that storm hit?
That's when I got my show.
So it was in downtown Los Angeles, and I go down to the casting, and I walk in, and I'm soaked, right? I'm soaked. And I walk in, and I'm annoyed, too. Mm-hmm. And I'm all wet, and I just not happy. And I walk into the room, and the casting director goes, oh, is it still raining outside? And I go, do your windows not work?
Oh, man.
Because she's in a room that's all windows, and it's
pouring down outside.
It's sheets outside. And I just go, oh, do your windows not work? Like, as a joke. And she went like this. Oh, no, I just wasn't. I was, you know, I've been, no, I, you know, and I was like, uh-huh. And I was like, what the fuck?
What is happening? Yeah. What is happening?
Why didn't I just say that to this lady?
Just ripped one right in the middle of the before it even happened.
And it's like, yeah, let's read for the thing I'm not going to get. You know. Yeah. And then I read and I didn't get it. Yeah. And I was just like, this sucks.
It happened. But you know what, dude? You get what you're supposed to. And a lot of times it doesn't help the situation. But if you're the guy, you're the guy, bro. Yeah. You can go in there and just go blah, 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 blah. And they're like, he is complete. That's a guy.
Hey,
that's
Gary Busey has a huge career because he's been the guy a bunch of times.
He's the guy a bunch of times.
You know Danny DeVito on Taxi. Do you know his audition story for Taxi?
No.
Oh, it's a great story.
It's a great story. Yeah. He got there and he was like, they're like, yeah, the role is like this tall, you know, kind of tough Italian, New York, handsome, you know, guy. And he was like, what the hell is this? Like, yeah. I'm not right for this at all. Like, and they were like, just go in there, do your thing, do what you do best. And he walked into the audition room with the sides, took a chair, put it next to the table that the directors and everyone was sitting at, stepped up onto the chair, and then stepped up onto their table that they were sitting at.
Yeah.
And threw the script down and went, what the hell kind of fucking garbage is this? And started yelling and doing his whole thing, and they were like, this guy is amazing. And he was cast off of that, like, because of his like big craziness.
His butt,
is that
yeah.
what you heard?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just shit all over.
Yeah, I don't
shit all over the show. But he was so small that him standing up on this table just, you know, it just killed him.
It was amazing. Small guys. I mean, you know what I mean. They have a lot of power. Mm-hmm. You know, and I mean, look at Pesci. And
yeah,
you
right.
know, I mean, come on, he's the scariest thing about Goodfellas. Yeah, you
frightening. Know what I mean? So now let's talk about Dirk Gently.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of things that are frightening,
please,
because. The bad guys on that show were terrifying.
Yeah, and they're the nicest guys.
Yeah.
They're now, so nice.
When we had Max on our podcast, I hadn't seen the show yet because I like to binge watch things. Like, I can't handle watching something once a week. Like, it drives me crazy. So I was like, I'm going to wait till it's all done, and I'll binge watch the whole thing.
Constantly, dude. That guy whistles. You can hear him across, like, over there. Like, he just does it.
Yeah, if you can't hear it, there was somebody in here whistling. Please, consulta permiso. Yeah, so I binge watched the whole thing at the end of December when it was all out on BBC America on their website. Great show, loved it. I love the books.
Thank you. Yeah,
so like I read the books and then watched the show. It's completely different plot wise, but it
I'm in the comic book. I'm sorry, I just had to put that out there. I'm in the comic book. I just found out. I'm in a comic book. I'm like a comic book hero.
That's awesome.
Whoa, that's amazing.
But I love the. It matches the feel of the novel, which is what I like about it. And then it updated it in the right ways. And it's just such a fun watch. Like, that show was incredible.
Yeah, it was. I mean, the show is incredible.
The only non-crazy character in the entire series, I think.
The whistling.
You were, like, the only non-crazy character in the whole series.
Oh, yeah. And
everyone else
immediately when I had
is batshit crazy.
I don't know if Max told you this. Originally, they were testing me for Todd. And they were going to test me. They'd done the test deal. They liked it. I went in for Max. They were like, this is great. And they did the test deal, and 4 hours later they called and he's like, yeah, they're pulling the test deal. They're offering it to someone else. I said, who are they offering it to? Is it Elijah Wood? I was like, I'm not doing this show. I'm not a weenie. Yeah. I love Elijah, but he plays the weenie.
Yeah, he's perfect.
He either plays the weenie or a really creepy, scary guy.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which when he does that, he's amazing.
Yeah.
And so I was like, cool. And then they asked me, like, you know, if you get to the point where you're going to test, you think, like, will they ask me about another character? And the only other character I thought of was Estevez. I said, because clearly he's the normal guy. And they're a bit left of center, both of them, Estevez and Zimmerfield. But
yeah,
they are the reality.
Yeah.
Like, they're the people, they're the audience. Like, what is happening here? And I said, if there was somebody I could play, it's Estevez. It's clearly Estevez. And they called and they said, hey, they want to see you for Estevez. And I was like, notice they were going to test me for Todd, but they want to see me for Estevez.
Yeah.
and I was like, so they want me to audition? And they were like, yeah. I said, okay, I'll drive down to Marina Del Rey and we'll do it. Let's go in and do it. And we did, and it was great. And I got to a place, I worked with Dennis Neal, I got to a great place with Estevez because, you know, and in retrospect, hindsight is 2020, but then you're like, clearly, I'm Estevez.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't see you as Todd.
Yeah,
like,
it's
it would have been
Todd.
A completely different show.
Yeah,
it's a
different
wrong
show.
Fit.
And,
yeah.
And, you know, after a while, you're like, well, if Todd's, like, getting smacked around and stuff like that, his shoulders are way too big for you to believe that, like, if I'm playing him.
Yeah, like, you're going to punch back. You're not going to be.
It's like, clearly he's going to punch back. As you notice, like, towards the end of the series, Estevez was punching everybody or carrying. I carried damn near everybody in that movie at some point, like, carried them.
Wow.
Physically. and so that same day, I was like, oh, so this is the moment, because I had done like 6 tests and nothing went my way. And I was like, oh, well, this is the moment where all those shows come back and like ask me would I audition for something else. Mm-hmm. And so that happened. They called for Dirk Gently and said, could I come in for Estevez? And then late that night, they said, my manager said, hey, so Insecure, because I tested for the lead guy in Insecure. Mm-hmm. The one that Jay Ellis got, Lawrence. Yeah. And they were like, they want to see you, but they want to see you on the same day as they want to see you for Dirk Gently. Mm-hmm. And that's at Sony. This is in Marina Del Rey. They're within an hour of each other. I mean, I know you like to prep. I was like, fine, I'll do it. It'll be awesome. I'll be great.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. What is it? And then they showed me the character Chad. I was like, I know this guy. Chad is horrible, you know, to women, but he's smart. Yeah. And he's awesome. And I went to them both on the same day in the same clothes, same like kind of suit. Mm-hmm. And I booked them both.
Awesome.
Fuck dude. Amazing.
One more question about Dirk Gently.
Well, hang on. He's such a good actor, and I watch Insecure. And he's my neighbor, and we're friends. Uh-huh. And I didn't realize it was him.
Yeah.
Like, until he said, and I've watched a good amount of episodes, mm-hmm. and it just totally caught me off guard, man.
It was very cool.
I mean, it was amazing.
Oh,
you're amazing in it.
Thank you.
Something I have to ask you, though, because when Max was in, I hadn't seen it yet, so I couldn't ask him. But Aaron Douglas, who plays Rimmer on the show, is he doing a Tony Clifton impression? Like, is that what he's doing?
All right, you may want to talk like this. What?
I watched the show, and it was like, he's doing Tony Clifton, and it works because he's such a creepy guy, Tony Clifton is.
Oh, yeah, he's creepy. Aaron, you know, I can't speak to that. All I know is that he's Irish, and he's awesome, and he's a family. I love that guy, Aaron. He kicks a lot of butt.
Yeah, I can't tell you how much I love that show. Like, I think it's
I
a show
beat a Cylon.
That,
I love it.
I fought a Cylon in one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's a show. I know they're doing season 2 and it's got time travel, so maybe.
Yeah.
You never
Come
know.
On back.
You never know.
And you got great stuff coming up. You have
I
Naked.
Confirm or deny anything.
Naked's coming up.
Yeah, Naked's great. Marlon Wayans, everybody was great with that. Rick Alvarez produced it. Mike Titus.
Dennis
Haysbert
is in that, right?
Yeah.
Does it feature a lot of naked people?
Hmm? One naked person.
One naked person.
And maybe two.
Maybe two.
Okay. Right. Yeah. It's like Groundhog Day.
Okay.
He wakes up naked in an elevator with an hour to get to his wedding every day.
Oh, so it's a guy who's naked.
Yeah, it's a guy who's naked.
He's Are you naked? Naked?
No.
Are
I'm
you
a,
the naked
I'm the police officer that has to mess around with his jiggly bits because he's naked and we have to catch him.
And you had to shoot that 200.
Yeah. We it's a lot of stuff that goes on in the show and myself and another actor Dave, we play these two kind of like dry cops who encounter him every day. And we go through this whole arc. It's a romantic comedy. It's really sweet. Regina King was great in it. Yeah, Rick Alvarez produced it.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's pretty. Now, it's do you find Netflix. That, shout out to Netflix. Netflix
do you find
is
that
so cool?
With your look, you have what we call in Hollywood.
Dave Sheridan. Jesus, there it is.
We have what we call in Hollywood like the ethnically ambiguous look, right? A little bit of that. Because you often play both Latino characters and black characters.
And everything.
Like seamlessly.
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I'm
it's
very
great.
Mixed. I'm a black Sicilian Irish Jew. Okay, yeah, the cat's out of the bag. I'm very mixed.
That's a great mix. Yeah. Like for
it
Hollywood,
pretty much is actually,
for these days in Hollywood. That's a great mix. I got to tell you,
I'm like getting like my show on CBS is the first time. I was like, I'm genuinely a black guy. I was like, yay, because I'm a black man.
Yeah,
absolutely.
To be seriously mixed.
Very cool.
I love it. And I love you. And now you're heading back into some familiar territory with Labyrinth, which is the murders of Tupac Shakur and Notorious B.I.G.
Mm-hmm. I cannot escape Suge Knight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I know we got to wrap up shortly. Yeah. But this is Johnny Depp. This is going to be a massive, massive
Yeah, he
movie.
Was great. He was great. And Brad Furman really got
Huge.
Us to a great place.
Who do you play in the movie? Are you allowed to talk about that?
Or? You know,
I mean, you're listed.
I mean, it's listed right there. Yeah. I play Rafael Perez. Rafael Perez, if anybody knows L.A.,
Central.
They know he gave up Rampart.
Wow.
He is the Rampart scandal. Denzel based Alonzo, his character in Training Day, off of him. And that show, The Shield, was based on his loosely based on his exploits. The lead character was based on Rafael Perez. He's a horrible, horrible guy.
Yeah.
I mean, while he was a cop, he's probably a nice person now.
No, when you play a guy who is not a good guy,
mm-hmm.
do you try to find... To like prepare for a role like that, do you try to find the good in that person, or do you play them how people like already perceive them? Like how do you approach a role like
Well,
that?
A lot of people don't, even though they're the bad guy, they don't think they're the bad guy.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
They think they're doing the right thing, and it just happens to be bad.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. You know, terrorism.
Right,
and they don't. They're not trying to be bad people. They really think they're doing the right thing. Everyone thinks they're doing the right thing. Their God is the right God and such. So, you know, I find what the thing that they worship and what they feel is their, you know, the thread between them that separates them from good and bad, and what they think that is, and what they believe they're doing, and why they believe they're doing it, and then I start to build from there. Like his thing, the people think that he thought was so bad was like he was terrible to people. He would just walk up to you and plant a gun on you and put you in jail, but he did it to people who were criminals.
Yeah,
wow.
You know, and so for him it was like, well, you skate the system all the time, and I can't catch you normally, and you do bad things, so I'm going to do a bad thing to put you away. I scare the boogeyman.
Wow.
So, you know, I find that and build from that, and I try to figure out where did they go, what we call wrong,
mm-hmm.
you know. Try to find that moment and go back as far as I can, you know, with as much information as I can get, and see who they are at ground zero, and then what changed them, and if there was a shift, or were they always this way?
Wow. Amazing.
One question about a former co-star of yours, Paul Giamatti.
Paulie.
Is he the type of person who sort of stays in character all the time, or is he like turns it on when the camera's on?
No. He's a great guy. Well, you know, Paul, he's just a good guy. Yeah, he's going to be there for you, no matter. he's a really cool
great
cat.
Actor.
An amazing actor. I was a big
since,
fan of his.
You
See,
know,
that's
Private Parts, I remember him in where he was amazing.
Yeah.
Right?
I loved Sideways. And I was such a fan of his, and like Richard Schiff and like these guys and Johnny. And I just started being allowed to work with them all of a sudden. And I learned so much from them. I learned a lot from Paul. Paul is great. Paul would... Paul would give me pointers. He would take jabs at me while we were filming and stuff to pull out more comedy than I felt like giving that day within a scene.
Yeah.
And he's great. But he's a tremendous actor, and he does a lot of hard work at
it. His dad was a great baseball commissioner. One of the last good ones we had.
There you go.
There you go. There you go. And I'm sorry about the guy that was whistling, but he's getting on my nerves. Like, but you know what? That's actually more indicative. That's of what I go through, because he does it all the time.
Yeah.
And I can hear him over my headphones when I'm working out. And that's I want to say, please stop, Poppy. And then I ask him to stop, and he smiles. And then he just keeps on whistling. It's really loud.
He doesn't know he's doing so it. He has no idea he's doing it. Yeah. It's like deep in his brain.
Yeah, it's like sometimes it's, you know, so I feel bad for yelling at the dude. I want to give him a hug.
Real quick, just say, like, of the podcast that I've been a part of on here, your range is the biggest of people that I've, like, been on this podcast with, but it is also because of the work that I've learned you've put in from the get-go that lets your range be as big as it is. And I just think that's fascinating.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate it. Yeah. I think your beard is fascinating.
Oh, I was hoping you would say something about that. So this worked out real. Very,
like, dude, I'm trying to grow. And it's like somebody told me, hey, horse shampoo. I said, you what, mane and tail? They're like, yeah, bro. And this is a white dude that told me. I was like, yeah, all right. I'll get that and start rubbing it in.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because the character I'm playing right now, you know, he's the seal. He's the top seal. Yeah. I mean, he's number two. He's a 2IC.
I'll give you my beard guy's number.
Oh. Okay. I'm trying to grow this guy like up, serious, but that is an impressive beard, sir.
Yeah, Glazer does have a pretty impressive
beard.
Thanks,
everyone. I'd like to get sponsored by coconut oil.
Hobo Fresh.
If you haven't checked out Glazer's Twitter page, it's like
it's great.
Every tweet.
Are you allowed to talk about some of the people you've done tweets for? Like,
I'm not.
Okay. So we can't. I mean, like, during the Super Bowl, he was tweeting for a very large brand.
Yeah.
That's,
you know,
amazing.
Like he's
yeah, it's cool.
Tired of doing stuff. It's great.
Yeah. Thanks for calling that out. I wish I could name everybody.
Yeah, I wish you could too. I've been off of social media during pilot season. I did it specifically. I broke away from all social media because I didn't want to. And Googling, because I Google one person every day, multiple times, to see what stupid thing he was going to do next. So I had to fast from that and pray on it and just back away. And you know what? I got a great job with great people, Ed Redlick and Chris Schulich and all these guys. Shout out to AJ Buckley and Max Tyriot, who are going to do this show with, and hopefully we go on for 7 seasons.
Awesome.
Here, Neil,
thank you,
CBS. I'll have you cold read one of Glazer's Facebook posts. David. Ready? Okay. All right. Just cold read it. Ready?
Out loud?
Out loud.
Do here.
All right,
here
we go. You got this. This one right here.
How come hot dogs come in packs of 8? And my dad left.
That's a great read.
That's great.
Fucking hilarious. Fucking hilarious. Made me laugh so much.
There you go. That and my dad.
Yeah. So Glazer writes a lots of stuff, and you know,
very funny guy.
Also, your read was killer.
Nailed it. Thank you.
So, Mike Glazer, if they want to read more of your tweets, where do they go?
At Glazer boo hoo hoo.
Yes.
GLAZER boo hoo hoo.
Boo hoo hoo.
I just like that sometimes you'll write stuff like, I wish I thought of Seinfeld. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. I'm right there with you. Like,
hey,
it would have been cool.
It would have been so cool if I would have come up with that.
Yeah, man. Great, man. Lots of money.
All right. Where can people find you, Matt Walker? Where can people get you on the internet?
Go to funnymatt.com. I got links to everything there. Or if you want to tell me that I should not ever be easy for Halloween again, you can tell me that at Matt Walker Sucks.
Com. You're in blackface. Yeah.
He was not in blackface.
Not in blackface.
You didn't go all the way. You suck.
Here's what I did. I had the Jerry Curl wig.
Of course.
I had a Raider hat.
Yeah.
I had black jeans. I had like Reeboks on. I had a flannel shirt. I had sunglasses. And I had a 40-volt English. And I had fingerless gloves. No, I don't think so.
Oh, do you know what we're doing with Matt for Halloween this year? Decided I'm going to get a real special effects team, and we're going to put Matt into a fat suit and make him Fat Walker.
That's what
instead
to
of
do.
Matt Walker.
It's going
to
be awesome.
He's never been fat in his whole life. He's always looked like this. Yeah. So it would be so fun to turn him into, and he eats like 12 dozen donuts.
Of course
like
you do.
He just eats like a fucking monster. It doesn't affect him at all. So we should just dress him up and put him in the fat suit with the prosthetics and just make him.
It'll be like when Tyra Banks was in the fat suit.
Yeah,
which is my favorite. By the way,
it's the best episode of all time.
Oh, Tyra.
What about you, Glaze? Where can people find you?
Yeah, like we just talked about it. If you do follow me on there, I can announce something on March 20th, but not before then. So follow me if you are curious, and if not, I don't know. Do that and look at my beard.
Yeah,
there you go.
Check out that beard,
Glazer Boo Hoo Hoo.
Yours is great too.
That's what it is on Twitter.
Yeah.
Neil, what do you have coming up that people should be looking out for, and where should they find you?
Naked comes out this summer
on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Labyrinth this year.
Comes out this year. I think I'm allowed to say September. Yeah, it'll be out this year.
Yeah.
And Sandcastle, the one I did with Nick Holt, Henry Cavill.
Yeah, that looks like it's going to be an amazing movie.
Bo Knapp, Glenn Powell Jr., great guys. Fernando Coimbra directed. Shout out to Justin Nappy, produced along with Mark Gordon. That'll be out April.
Wow.
Cool.
Yeah, that'll be out.
What April. A year.
Do you have a Twitter?
Yeah, I have a Twitter. It's at #1 Neil Brown Jr.
All right.
And my
Instagram too?
Is the same thing, #1 Neil Brown Jr.
All right. Mm-hmm. We'll be tweeting and posting and tagging you in the
I have Snapchat too, but I'm off of it.
Lovely. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I use that sometimes too. It's weird.
Yeah, it is.
You can always get me at Stephen Glickman, STPHEN Glickman on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe to the Nighttime Show podcast and leave comments and share it. We love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. And Neil, you're a true friend and a terrific guy.
Thank you. I'm so
proud of you, and I'm so happy for all your
success. But how is he as a neighbor?
Oh, even better.
Okay. Won't you be my neighbor?
Yeah. Well, do you remember when the RZA lived here? Were you around when that happened?
Oh, yeah. When the guy
RZA's had
his cool.
There was a point where the RZA had a condo on the top floor.
And yeah.
It's incredible.
Nate threw parties that would get the cops called.
Yeah.
And then
didn't last long. And then a guy almost got stabbed.
So it didn't last long.
Almost.
Straight out of Cahuenga. I love you guys. Thanks a lot. Have a good night. So peace.